business?
Quantum mechanics for a long time. My thesis at Simon Greenleaf was, does quantum mechanics prove the observer determines reality? And I got interested in this subject about 20 years ago. And I heard various new agers trying to use quantum mechanics to prove that the observer determines reality, therefore if I believe I'm God, whatever. And it's interesting to me that this is still around and being used and increasing, actually. The thing that I wanted to talk to you about today is something that I talked to Ken Sample's class at Biola about, and I took 3 hours there, so I'm going to try to squeeze 3 hours into 45 minutes, which is probably a foolish thing to try to do, but I'm going to give it a try. We're going to be watching quite a bit of video, so if you can't see the screen, you might want to move somewhere where you can see it. The two videos that I want to talk about today are The Secret and What the Bleep Do We Know. How many of you have heard of one of those? Okay. If you've seen them, you know that they use quantum mechanics to try and prove, to support what they're trying to assert. And I want to see a little bit of the videos to show how they're doing that and then talk about why that's not true. Yes? Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I should have done that. Quantum mechanics or quantum physics is the physics of the very, very small subatomic particles, basically. Anything in the atom or smaller is going to be an atomic. Particle isn't exactly the right word. Entity might be the right word. The problem is that things at the quantum level behave very differently than things at the macro level, which is our everyday level. You see continuous action when you're just looking, like if I throw a ball, you see it continuously go through the air. But if you're at the quantum level in a particle, electron is moving, it can jump from one level, energy level in an atom to another, and there's no in between. And the only way, it's so difficult to try and visualize it, you really can't. But the best way that I can think of to help you visualize it is the frames in a movie. Now, we don't even have film anymore. We've got digital. But in a movie, if you've ever seen the film that goes through the projector, you've got frames, individual frames, and each one is basically a still picture. You put those still pictures together and run it to the projector, and it looks like cars are moving and people are walking. But obviously, there's no real motion going on in that film. It's all individual pictures, but when you put it together, it looks like you've got movement. Well, that's the best I can get to get you close to trying to visualize what's happening at the quantum level. Quantum means things are quantized. The energy is quantized. You've got little packets of energy, not continuous. It's packets, individual packets. And I took 3 weeks once in this class to try and explain this. If I ever get another chance to talk about it and you're interested, I might go back and do that. And I also, in 1999, I was trying to think what the date was, and my thesis defense was December 18th, 1999, and it was the next day on the 19th that I talked here in the class, and I summarized it. And they probably still have that available. If anybody's interested, you can get it. And also, we've got one video. It's Mysteries Explained, I think is the name of it. And one of the DVDs on there is Quantum Apologetics, which Erica Carlson and I did with Hugh on the TV show that he used to have. And we talked about quantum mechanics and quantum apologetics. And so that's another way that you can look at some more information if you want. And if you want to talk about it some more personally, I'd be happy to talk with you about it. The reason that I'm trying to talk about this today is because I had not even heard about it until somebody brought it up, but apparently in February and maybe January, twice on the Oprah Winfrey Show, she interviewed Rhonda Byrne and some other people who were on her video about The Secret. And Rhonda Byrne is a lady from Australia. She had said she had a lot of difficulties in her life, and she discovered the secret to everything. And that's what her book and the DVD is titled, The Secret. Now, we're going to see about 10 minutes of that, and I'm hoping you can get the impact of it. Oprah was extremely excited about it. Everybody's very excited about it. Fred Alan Wolf is the physicist who's going to be on both the videos. And so we're going to talk about this now. I'll tell you a little bit more about the second one before we get into it, but I think this one will be fairly self-explanatory without some preview thing. Now, can you hear the TV without this?
Given a glimpse of a great secret. I began tracing the secret back through history. Searching for people alive today who know the secret. One by one, they began to emerge.
You know, this secret gives you everything you want. Happiness, health, and wealth. You can have, do, or be anything you want. We can have whatever it is that we choose. Don't care how big it is. What kind of a house do you want to live in?
Do you want to be a millionaire?
What kind of a business do you want to have?
Do you want more success?
What do you really want? I've seen many miracles take place in people's lives. Financial miracles, miracles of physical healing, mental healing, healing of relationships. All of this happened because of knowing how to apply the secret. This is a great secret of life. Sitting there wondering, what is the secret? I'll tell you how I have come to understand it. We all work with one infinite power. We all guide ourselves by exactly the same law. The net natural laws of the universe are so precise that we don't even have any difficulty building spaceships. We can send people to the moon, and we can time the landing with the precision of a fraction of a second. I don't care if you're an Indian, if you're in Australia, New Zealand, Stockholm, or London, or Toronto, or Montreal, or New York. We're all working with one power, one law. Subtraction. The secret is the law of attraction. Everything that's coming into your life, you are attracting into your life. And it's attracted to you by virtue of the images you're holding in your mind. It's what you're thinking. You see, whatever is going on in your mind, you are attracting to you. Now, wise people have always known that. You can go right back to the ancient Babylonians. They've always known this. It's a small select group of people. Why do you think that 1% of the population earns around 96% of all the money that's being earned? Do you think that's an accident? It's no accident. It's designed that way. They understand something. They understand the secret. And you are being introduced to the secret.
The simplest way for me to look at the law of attraction is if I think of myself as a magnet, and I know that a magnet will attract to it. Very basically put, the law of attraction says that like attracts like, but we're really talking at a level of thought. Our job as humans is to hold on to the thoughts of what we want, make it absolutely clear in our minds what we want, and from that we start to invoke one of the greatest laws in the universe, and that's the law of attraction. You become what you think about most, but you also attract what you think about most.
If you see it in here, you're going to hold it here.
And that principle can be summed up in three simple words. Thoughts become things. What most people don't understand is a thought has a frequency. Every thought has a frequency. We can measure a thought. And so if you're thinking that thought over and over and over again, or if you're imagining in your mind, okay, having that brand new car, having the money that you need, building that company, finding your soulmate, if you imagine what that looks like, you're emitting that frequency on a consistent basis.
Thoughts are sending out that magnetic signal that is drawing the parallel back to you. See yourself living in abundance, and you will attract it. It always works. It works every time with every person.
And here's the problem. Most people are thinking about what they don't want, and they're wondering why it shows up over and over and over again.
The law of attraction doesn't care whether you perceive something to be good or bad, or whether you don't want it, or whether you do want it. It's responding to your thoughts. So if you're sitting there looking at a mountain of debt, feeling terrible about it, that's the signal you're putting out to the universe. Wow, I feel really bad because of all this debt I've got. You're just affirming it to yourself. You feel it on every level of your being. That's what you're going to get more of.
The law of attraction is really obedience. When you think of the things that you want and you focus on with all of your intention, the law of attraction will give you what you want every time. When you focus on the things that you don't want, I don't want to be late, I don't want to be late, you really are calling that into existence. The law of attraction doesn't hear that you don't want it, and so it's going to show up over and over and over again. The law of attraction is not biased to want or don't want. It manifests the things that we think about.
The law of attraction is always working, whether you believe it or understand it or not. It's always working.
It's working as much as you're thinking. Anytime your thoughts are flowing, the law of attraction is operational. When you're thinking about the past, present, or the future, the law of attraction is working. It's an ongoing process. You don't press pause. You don't press stop. It is forever in action. As your thoughts are.
Creation is always happening. Every time an individual has a thought,
or a prolonged chronic way of thinking, they're in the creation process. Something is going to manifest out of those thoughts.
Law of Attraction says, we'll give you whatever it is you say and focus on. So if you're complaining about how bad it is, what you're creating is more of how bad it is.
And look, you can see law of attraction everywhere. You draw everything to yourself, the people, the job, the circumstances, the health, the wealth, the debt, the joy, the car that you drive, the community that you're in, and you draw them off like a magnet. What you think about, you bring about. Your life is a physical manifestation of the thoughts that go on in your head.
I mean, I'm not talking to you from the point of view of just wishful thinking or imaginary craziness. I'm talking to you from a deeper, basic understanding. Quantum physics really begins to point to this discovery. It says that you can't have a universe without the mind entering into it. That the mind is actually shaping the very thing that is being perceived.
Now, if you don't understand it, doesn't mean you should reject it. You don't understand electricity properly. First of all, no one even knows what electricity is. And yet you enjoy the benefits of it. You know how it works. I don't know how it works. But I do know this. That you can cook a man's dinner with electricity. And you can also cook the man.
Okay. You can cook with electricity, you can cook a man's dinner, or you can cook the man. So therefore, this is obviously true. Okay. I wanted to know if you've spotted one or two scientific errors in there. Yes. What? That's true, it doesn't. The man who said imaginary thinking, that's Fred Alan Wolf. He's the physicist, and he's going to be in the next video, too. Interestingly enough, when he was interviewed, now, I should point out this, for this video and also the next one, they just interviewed a lot of people who didn't necessarily agree with their principles, and maybe didn't even know what they were being interviewed for. But later, Fred Alan Wolf, when he was interviewed and he was talking about the lady that gets the necklace that she wanted, he said, well, I don't know, but it doesn't work that way in my life. So so he doesn't necessarily believe what they're talking about. But who knows what he was talking about. But anyway, very materialistic. And everything, they say, the law of attraction means whatever you think about, that's what you get. Like attracts like, you know, like magnetism. Yes. That's right. Unfortunately. Just tag Jesus on there, yeah. I have no idea. Yeah, New Age. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, when somebody says there's no such thing as absolutes, well, you're absolutely sure about that? Yes. Well, then there is at least one. Yes. The same thing that they can't have it? Opposite death. Who knows? Yeah, perfect. You can only hit, well, maybe they take turns. Yes. Mm-hmm. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right. Now, there's an important point here, both as far as our thoughts and as far as quantum physics are concerned. What you think about obviously affects your life. I mean, if you're in the Word of God constantly, that's going to affect your life. It's not absolutely going to determine your life, you know, and quantum mechanics, too. I'll get to you in a second. In quantum mechanics, the important point about the interaction that you have at the quantum level, people who like to make it mystical say all you have to do is look at it and you change it or you bring it into existence. We're going to talk a little bit more about Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. That's what these formulas are over here in a minute. But the thing about the quantum level is you cannot, it is impossible to observe it without interfering with it. That's what affects it. I mean, if you couldn't look at a Chevy without crashing a Ford into it, you're going to change things. You're obviously going to affect it. And that's the way it is at the quantum level. If you want to look at an electron, you've got to crash another electron or something like it into it in order to get some measurements. And therefore, you've interacted with it. It's not, if you just look at something on the macro level, you can look outside and see the car through the grid there. You haven't affected it. You have no effect on it whatsoever. But at the quantum level, looking is the same thing as interfering. So it's different at the quantum level. But unfortunately, people not only say that you determine reality at the quantum level, but they also try to say you create reality at this quantum level. We'll get that into a little bit more. But I'm still looking for those scientific errors. Yes? Right. That's right. With magnetism, like repels like. Oh, small detail there. In an interview on Nightline, they asked Bob Proctor, the guy who was talking the most there, about that, and he says, oh, well, it's kind of all a circle, you know. So, just explain it away, yeah. Yeah, very good point. Just because you assert something does not make it true. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I would say it's not true that we don't know what electricity is. Maybe he doesn't know, but that doesn't mean that nobody knows. So, well, some of the things that we didn't see, they talk about. They have sequences, both in this one and in What the Bleep Do We Know, that shows electrical signals moving directly across a synapse in the brain, and that's not how signals are carried in the brain. They're carried between neurons chemically by neurotransmitters. So that's an error. They also say that the body creates the 20 amino acids that we need. Well, it doesn't. 12, but there's 8 essential amino acids that we have to get from outside our body. They say humans use only 10% of our brain. That's very common. That's been around a long time. We use it all. Different time. And they said that the body is 90% water. Well, it's 60 to 70% water, depending. So they have a lot of scientific errors, but they throw in a smattering of science, and they throw in a smattering of the Bible and a whole bunch of speculation. And that's, hopefully, remember, we're here, we're all about testing. So that's, if you can at least try to, if you can get the basic idea of their basic areas where they're wrong, then even though you don't know every point of what they're talking about, if you get the basics, you can answer a lot of that. Yes. Yeah, anything. In fact, any horrible thing that happens to you, you were thinking about it, you were afraid of it, so you attracted it. And so something like this is very easy for people to say, well, you know, somebody says, well, I tried this and it didn't work. Well, you were probably thinking about the wrong thing, you know. It's all your fault. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You had your hair up, your hand up longer. Go ahead. Uh-huh. That's what they say. Doesn't matter what horrible thing happens to you, it's your fault. Yeah. Huh? Mm-hmm. There's a smattering of truth in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our attitude, what we think, affects our lives. It affects what happens, but it doesn't absolutely determine it. Yeah. Yes. Mhm. Yeah. Mhm. I think basically people get into these things for the money. She's making a lot of money. Yes. Right. Mhm. Yeah. I think when it comes to getting the necklace that you want, probably the MasterCard commercial is a little bit more realistic. Have you seen that one where the lady, she gets a pedicure, so she buys red shoes to show off her pedicure, then she gets the red dress, and then she's looking at the necklace and say, yeah, right. Only so much you can do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Can be like God. Yeah, must have a lot of attraction, still working. Yeah. Okay, yes. Yeah. We're always trying to get God out of the picture and put ourselves supreme. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mhm. Yeah, it isn't. Yeah. Okay, so the main thing I want you to remember from this is that they get a lot of their science wrong. Like does not attract like repels like, as far as magnetism is concerned. And although what we think affects reality, it doesn't determine reality. Yeah. It is. It's huge. Anytime something gets on Oprah and is recommended, it's going to sell millions of copies. So it's out there everywhere. So I'm sorry we don't have more time to go into it. I'm trying to rush through here. We've got another 10-minute video from What the Bleep Do We Know. This is the DVD. Uh-huh. Well, hopefully they'll turn to God, but I don't know for sure. For what? So you think that this works? Absolutely. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm. I think the thing that we would want to emphasize in here is that the Bible says to test everything. And what we detest it against is the Word of God. And anytime we elevate anything, even our own thoughts, above God and His will in our lives, then we have a problem, and that goes against Scripture. Yeah, there is power in positive thinking. Yeah. Well, depends on what you want. I mean, the Bible not only says that, It also says, ask not and you, ask and you will receive, right? You don't have because you don't ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. So, if I want to be a millionaire for purely selfish reasons, that doesn't mean God's going to make me a millionaire. And also, I might become a millionaire. I might win the lotto. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to use it for the purposes that God would want to use. In fact, you know, I don't even use, I don't buy a lot of tickets because I might win. And I don't think that would be right to take other people's money. But anyway. yeah. Huh? Right, yeah. See? Yeah, coveting. Right. God cares a lot more about the motives of our heart than he does actually about our outer circumstances. Yeah. I don't recall this addressing sin, but what the bleep does, and it's going to be in this next section. Okay. Okay, it's going to be about 10 minutes, so we've only got 15 at the most, so let's... Oh, also, this... I really struggle with showing this because this is a lot more opaque than The Secret. The first part, this lady, Jay-Z Knight, is going to be, I don't know if you heard about her, she says she channels Ramtha. This is a 5,000-year-old man or something. But anyway, she's going to be talking a lot of gibberish about Heisenberg. And the plot of this movie is about Marlee Matlin. She's the deaf actress. You know, she plays a photographer whose marriage is falling apart and her life is miserable. She keeps running into people who basically tell her, you know, you can change your life. Your life will be what you want it to be. And there's a lot of fancy graphics in it, which I didn't get to show, but... There's a basketball court scene, and the idea there is to try and demonstrate wave-particle duality. When you look at it, it's one thing. When you don't look at it, it's something else. And let's see. The payoff comes in the last 3 minutes when they talk about religion. So.
With the observer is it the man who makes the breakthrough? A quantum uncertainty, for example, Heisenberg's principle, did a great thing when he did that, because he realized that there was uncertainty that even he couldn't observe, but only as uncertainty, and that only meant that someone else was guiding them to their own chaotic destiny.
When you are not looking, electrons can be here, can be there, or can be over there, in a corner of this room. But whenever we look, we always find them to be in one type of powder.
Quantum mechanics is shot through and through with certain key features. Key meaning that they're critical to what quantum effects are. They undergird the entire structure of matter and the physical universe. They are very well describable in mathematical terms, and they obey certain probabilistic laws that can be written down and that seem never to be violated. And yet, they are completely beyond understanding. For instance, what we were just talking about, superposition, and the notion that something can exist in two places at once and yet be in neither of those two places. Okay, well, that's a perfectly good English sentence, I think. But you can't actually make sense out of it. And I can write an equation that basically says, in mathematical terms, what I just said in English, that gives the probability that if you look, you'll find the object to the left, and a certain other probability that when you look, you'll find it to the right. So that's all neat and clean, and the mathematics of it works no contradiction. But to say that before you look, the object is in both places and yet neither. And it isn't that when you look, like lifting a shell up in the shell game, you know, either the bead is there or it isn't there. It isn't that way. Before you take the shell up, the bead isn't under either shell. And it's also under both. And which one it ends up, you know, when you pick the shell up, whether it's bead is there or isn't there, is not determined by anything and doesn't actually even come into existence until the moment that you pick the shell up.
Planet in the Milky Way that has habitation that is steeped in enormous subjugation of religion. You know why that is? It's because people have set up right and wrong.
I did say there is no right and wrong. Does that mean that it's a free-for-all? Absolutely not. I mean, the problem that I have with right and wrong in those categories is not that I want a free-for-all, but that right and wrong doesn't go nearly far enough.
They have never sinned. They have never walked. Wrong, yes, in moral confrontations with society. But that's their adversity. That's why they're here. To wrong, to learn, to search, and use the wisdom of that to create yet greater dreams.
There's nobody keeping records up there. The records are here, and I'm going to have to deal with them. That's far more painful than a record-keeping god up in the skies. So anyone who's setting out on the path of enlightenment will be absolutely impeccable in everything that they do. Is it because of fear of damnation? No. Or of the punishment of God, or because I have sinned and haven't got forgiveness. No, no, no. I mean, these are all excuses that keeps us away from the real problem. The really enlightened person will see every action has a reaction with which I must deal. And if I'm wise, I'm not going to do stuff that will cause me to have to face it and resolve it and balance it in my soul later. That's the main criteria.
That God or the fundamental level of reality, depending on what people describe it, really, I mean, theoretically, it should be everywhere. It's something, you know, exactly how it would manifest or how God would manifest in the world is a more complicated issue. But I think that certainly from a more traditional religious perspective, people have kind of gotten away from God, the person.
There's been a great shift from God up there or out there or in there, wherever, to the God within. And that's
an improvement, but we don't want to get some idea that, that God can be within and still be separate, which is what most people think. They think the God within is like some of those alien movies, you know, where some being breaks out from my chest. God's not within in that stupid sense. What it means is that in God we live, move, and have our being, that we ourselves, in fact, are divine.
What's the relation between my God self and your God self? There is no relationship because it's only one God self. It's in both of us.
All people are divine people. Is it not ironic that all would say that this is the voice of the devil, or that this is heresy? If this is heresy, then what is promised to everyone is an imbuement with God that is inseparable.
One of the things that I wanted to demonstrate to you, when the physicists were talking about superposition and how things are in two places at once, and things are and they're not, they exist, they don't exist at the same time. Erica Carlson has a great demonstration, which I'm borrowing. This represents a coin. This is heads, this is tails. Let's see if I can do this. Okay. Is it head or tails? Okay, well, it's spinning. It's neither, and it's both. The only way to find out if it's head or tails is to stop it from spinning. But then what did I do? I interfered with it. I determined reality. Well, no, I interfered with reality. I could not determine. Now, I cannot say, I'm going to make it heads. Well, I did, but I might not have. I could have just as easily made it tails, which I did that time. So the big thing is we do interfere with reality at the quantum level. We do not determine reality at the quantum level. And even when you interfere with it so that you bring about a state that was sort of uncertain before, you can't determine what the outcome is going to be at the quantum level when you do that. You can measure what happens, but you can't determine what's going to happen. All you can do is determine the kind of measurement you're going to take. This is so brief. I know it's probably, I hope it makes some sense, but so what they said in there was religion's the problem, basically. We don't sin. Nobody sins. Nobody has a record but me. There's not a God keeping track. God's within us. We're divine. None of those things are true. If you accept the Bible, if you understand what's in the Bible clearly says the opposite of those things. Then, very interesting. Plus, if you're God, how come you don't know it? Well, you forgot. You know, you got to be educated to. It's you can't necessarily expect it to make logical sense, because frequently when the ones that I've heard talk about it, when they're confronted with a problem, they just sort of go around it. They don't really answer it directly. We don't have a lot of time to go directly into that. Mara? Yeah, there's a lot of mystical talk that goes on about the quantum level because it's so inaccessible to us on an everyday level. Yeah. Plus, it is very different at the quantum level. It's very different. It's not just that you can't say precisely what the state is. It may not have a precise state. I mean, yeah, but it is there. Now, you know, I'm sorry to, we've got like 3 minutes, so I may not get another chance. Just one second. I want to talk briefly about the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. This basically says the uncertainty about the position times the uncertainty of the momentum of that entity has a certain, it's greater than or equal to Planck's constant, which is a very, very tiny, tiny amount. Now, the important thing about this is that they say at the quantum level that it doesn't exist. For instance, you can know anything you want to know about the position, but you will never know anything about the momentum if you do that. And when you can choose which one you want to know about. You can choose to know about the momentum, or you can choose to know about the position. But you can't know everything about both. The thing is that though you cannot precisely know about both, you can imprecisely know about both. Now, the very fact that you can imprecisely know about both indicates that they both Well, actually, prayer, I would say, itself doesn't have the power. It's God that has the power, and it's our connecting with God. But it also, prayer is in the spiritual realm. It's not in the physical realm, so it wouldn't even be in the subatomic realm because it's spiritual. Yeah, it tends to be. It can. Yeah. Yeah, if this is against God, which it is, then I would not be surprised for Satan to make some of it work, especially the people who are the leaders. But just a couple quick things. Brian Greene, who's a physicist, he wrote The Elegant Universe. He said, if by law of attraction they have this notion of having a thought and it attracts like thoughts, I can assure you quantum mechanics has nothing to say about that, because quantum mechanics isn't about thoughts. And there was a Dr. Lewis Aaron said, this is almost a perfect example of magical thinking. So I guess the two things that I want to leave you, and even Heisenberg, he said, London still exists whether we see it or not. And he said, interaction with the measuring device affects things at the quantum level. In classical physics, we speak of parts of the world without reference to ourselves, but you can't do that at the quantum level because you're interfering with it. An observation of quantum events applies to the physical, not the mental act of observation. So, if there's two things that I would leave you with, it's this. First of all, at the quantum level, by, because you can't observe it without interfering with it, you will affect it. You will not determine what's going on, but you will affect it. And secondly, remember that in both of these videos, they have a lot of scientific error. They have a smattering of scientific truth and a smattering of biblical truth. One of the things they said, this J.C. Knightley, is Jesus said that the entire world, this universe, is contained in a mustard seed. No, that's not what he said. So check everything out. Test it. Test it against Scripture. Yeah. The last one was, what the bleep do we know? And the first one was the secret.
All right. Thank you, Marge. I'm going to close with some prayer. I failed to pray in the beginning here, so we definitely want to lift up our missionaries here in prayer, and especially Al here for your surgery. Dear Lord, it's a pleasure to come before you, Lord, and to lift up your name, Lord, and we know that your will be done, Lord, and we thank you that you are the sovereign God and creator. Pray that you'll be with Hugh Ross, and he enjoys his vacation and has a good time of relaxing and bring him back to us safely. The same with Mark Perez, our president of the LA chapter, Reasons to Believe. Pray that you'll also bring him back to us safely. We pray for our missionaries. We pray that you'll be with Wes Winger as he's in a difficult part of the world in northern Africa. We pray for continued protection and help in his translation work. We thank you for Al Trussell for his sacrificial giving of going to another country, China, that isn't necessarily friendly to you, and yet so many people are coming to faith in you, Lord, and I pray that you will be with him as he goes through his surgery coming up soon, Lord. We thank you for Marge. We thank you for all the work that she's done with Reasons to Believe, the blessing that she's been to Hugh Ross and to Reasons to Believe in her research, Lord, and pray that you continue to bless her. We pray for all the people that have been watching these videos, Lord, and getting sucked into just such foolishness that's been there from the garden of thinking that you can become a god. I don't understand that attraction, Lord, but so many people obviously want to claim your title and your rights and not acknowledge you as a sovereign God, but somehow proclaim themselves as a sovereign God. And it's just a lie that has been out there from day one, from the beginning, Lord, from the fallen angels. And we pray, Lord, for those people that get trapped into this, Lord, that your light will break through and set them free, and that they would come to know you, the true and sovereign God, and the wonderful world that you've created. Be with us this week. Amen.